Before I start, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on my life. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Lord, I ask that you move me out of the way, that the knowledge that you want to provide is provided. Amen. And Lord, please bless the words of my mouth. Let nothing that is not worthy of you come out of my mouth, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and put up a disclaimer. Historical documents referenced do not use politically correct terms and may also use intentionally offensive wording. I will try to clarify points where the waters become a bit muddy due to the ignorance and the age of the documents referenced. And history is rarely pretty or straightforward. It's always... Remember, history is always written by the victors.
That's right. Yeah.
Always. So that's who.
Hey, that's good right there.
That's all we got. Okay. So the first thing I want to express is that trans people have existed for thousands of years. Now the visibility that we have now, and the way that we are portrayed, and the way that we are classify ourselves, has been different, but we have been around for thousands of years. Now, our white Western culture, we have two socially recognized genders. It's non-scientific because science is finding out that we're more on a spectrum as far as sex goes. And right now we have trans people exist on the margin of society, and not non-binary people, who are people who do not fit into the male or female boxes, are still trying to fight for recognition. They don't even get recognition in the trans community. So that's where we're standing right now. That's the basic backdrop of our personal culture. However, in other cultures and in ancient cultures, most of the time you would see a person that was gender variant or a person who was also same-sex attracted in a third gender category. There are tons of third genders, and I've just put up a sampling. Half of these I cannot pronounce. We have the Hijra in India. Some are, and if you don't notice what the acronym means, it means male assigned at birth. So some are male assigned at birth, some are intersex. Then you have the Khwarezmshahra of Pakistan, Kathoes in Thailand, Eshtime in Ethiopia, Mashoga in Kenya. In Italy, you actually have a third gender. In Naples, they recognize the Femminello. And the Muxa of the Zapoteca southern Mexico. And with a lot of these, some identify as cross-dressers, some neither male nor female, and some identify as gay men. So it's not like gender and sexuality are not separate like they are in our current culture right now. First Nations peoples recognize a plethora of anywhere between 3 to 5 genders per tribe. You had the Bade and the Crow, the Wahama and Kokopa, the Joya and Shumesh, and again, some would express gender variance, some express same-sex attraction. Unfortunately, when the conquistadores came through, they killed a lot of the third gender people. As a matter of fact, I have a few excerpts from Transgender Warriors, which is a book I've been reading, about some expeditions. Calancha wrote that during Vasco Nunez de Balboa's expedition across Panama, Balboa saw men dressed like women. Balboa learned that they were sodomites and threw the king and 40 others to be eaten by his dogs, a fine action of an honorable and Catholic Spaniard. Here is another one. Spaniards invaded the Antilles and Louisiana. They found men dressed as women who were respected by their societies. Thinking that they were hermaphrodites or homosexuals, they slew them. This was not a pretty history. Our culture has erased a lot of third genders around the world, and like where we've colonized, a lot of times we have actually gone in and caused a lot of marginalization of people that were originally accepted. Now, Israel, according to a rabbi more recently, about 2006, he found through going through the Mishnah, the Talmud, and the Midrash, that there were a lot of terms that expressed gender diversity. Some of them were intersex. A lot of these actually don't appear in our scriptures. I've highlighted one that is Saris. Saris is translated eunuch in our scriptures. And it was actually a pretty broad term. You could be naturally a Saris, which is you were either born infertile or missing something, or you know, you just did not enter into the general heterosexual relationships. So it was a pretty broad term, and you of course could be made one, whether with your will or against your will, that could be done. Now, we don't hear most of the other terms also, because it was a patriarchal society, so people who were male assigned at birth were more important and more visible than everybody else. The female alternative, people who were born female at birth, would be a lonyet. But you don't see that in scriptures. But that's essentially the female equivalent. Eunuchs, to clarify how people saw them, I'm going to Philo of Alexandria. And I'm just going to warn you, this is yet another place where translators have used a word that actually meant something else compared to the text that was given. In former days, the very mention of pederasty was a great disgrace, but now is a matter of boasting not only to the active partner, but to the passive partner, who habituate themselves to endure the disease of effemination. They let both body and soul run to waste and leave no ember of their male nature to smolder. Mark how conspicuously they braid and adorn their hair, and how they scrub and paint their faces with cosmetics and pigments and the like. In fact, the transformation of the male natures of the female is practiced by them as an art and does not raise a blush. So there we see, and really pederasty is not the word, because we know that that means something else, and that means something actually that abusive. But what he describes there is actually consensual relations going on. And he makes no distinctions between same-sex attraction and people who are gender variant. Our culture also makes that is the one that makes that distinction. We see its difference between gender and our relationships. And you know, whether we like it or not, since antiquity, the waters have been muddy and we have been joined at the hip, whether we like it or not. Now, what does God say about eunuchs? And this is all of us. This is why I also titled this sermon, All God's Children. This is all of us. This is transgender, regardless of sexuality, and every sexual orientation available. Anyone who does not fit that category of heterosexual marriage, this is you. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, or Saris say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial. And a name better than that of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Never cut off, regardless of whether or not you procreate or you're accepted. God accepts you, regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexuality. You are God's, and you are in his eye. Now, Jesus did say something about eunuchs, and again, this is everybody. As a matter of fact, he actually goes a little bit farther than my scope. He says to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only to those whom has been given. For there are eunuchs who are born that way from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. Now, I'm going to concentrate on the born this way, because a lot of times people think that because we change our bodies that we are not born this way, but science doesn't say that. There has been a recent 2012 set of studies that were done, but in Spain. They took 18 female-to-male transsexual people and 18 male-to-female transsexual people that have had no anything done to them, no hormones, no surgery, no nothing, just that they identified. And they compared them with 24 males and 19 females in one study and 19 males and 19 females in the other study, all cisgender, of course, and found that people who were female to male, like myself, their brains in the white matter region of the brain that they found matched men across the board. And then people who were male to female, they found that only halfway through that they were somewhere in between female and male brains. It actually took less to make a female than it took to make a male mentally. But our brains are like this right from the womb. It's like, what more do you need to show that we are naturally born? Now, I'm going to concentrate also now on misread passages. These are passages that are used against us. And you have to know the context behind what was going on. These were laws given to separate Israel from the rest of the world, and especially from idolatrous worship. Okay, two passages. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 22:5. And then on Deuteronomy 23:1, no one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. One thing you have to know about the culture surrounding Israel at the time is there was a lot of idolatrous worship. Some of it included priests and priestesses cross-dressing. Astarte, Sibel, and Demeter all had castrated priestesses. They saw cross-dressing in various cults, various gods and goddesses. Dionysus, also known as Bacchus, had actually female priestesses that would dress as men on certain occasions. They would wear fake beards. And then on top of that, they would carry these massive fake phalluses in a processional. So it's like, this is what they were seeing. They were not, this isn't people who were identifying as a certain way, living their lives, as we're trying to do. This is people who were honoring various fertility cults and honoring various gods, and a lot of that also included ritual sex. So, as a matter of fact, there was a 12th century rabbi who saw the problem with these two verses as being that this was idolatrous worship by the heathens, as he called them. So, in conclusion, I'd like to say, I know who I am. You know who you are. We all. And we know that God loves us as we are. And that there will be no more confusion. There will be no more confusion. Because we're breaking out. We're stepping up. We're here. We're queer. And we love God. Amen.